Hello, aliens. Welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerds Way.
Hello, and...
No. Hello, and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerds Way. I'm Adam.
And I'm John.
And we're here to guide you through all the mystery and possible suffering of surviving the apocalypse through TV, books, and movies, and possibly even music if we feel like it. But I am utterly exhausted at the moment.
Why is that, Adam? Well, is that because I secretly took you to a top secret thing that I didn't tell you what it was?
Indeed. If anybody has been following us on Twitter, dear John here, my esteemed co-host, had elected to surprise me with a segment for the podcast, which he refused to tell me what it was until I got here so I couldn't back out.
Indeed, because I knew you would try and weasel your way out of it.
Indeed, I would have, because it involved things that I don't like. Touching people, people touching me, and copious amounts of sweating. Now, you may be wondering, oh, hello, what's going on here?
Yeah, it sounds a bit weird.
It does indeed. However, let me put your mind at ease, because it was... And
hey, wait, you can't spoil it. I'm going to censor that out. We have to build up the suspense. It's like, what could it be? What could it possibly be?
Well, what could it possibly be is simple. We just tell them because this isn't a like-grabbing podcast, you sycophant.
No, we're going to clickbait. You have to listen. You have to listen to the podcast to find out what it is.
Well, regardless, it was a horrifying experience. But I must say that I do feel somewhat energized by it.
Good.
Yes, yes. I still loathe you for all eternity, but nonetheless.
Let's just say you got your own back.
Indeed, I did.
We'll find out later.
Indeed. There's a bit of hope I'm feeling. As of late.
What? The world's not going to end? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it will, just not in one of the ways I thought it would. There seems to be a little bit of peace going on in the Korean Peninsula. And that is all to do with the Winter Olympics taking place in South Korea.
Wow.
It's quite... It's brilliant. It's been all over Twitter. It's been fantastic. And this is going to sound very... camp, if you will, but I love watching the figure skating.
Really?
Indeed, like, it's so graceful and elegant. It's very, very lovely. But regardless, North and South Korea have kind of come together. In fact, when they did their march out, they did it under a unified banner.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a little bit of hope there. So maybe we're not all going to die with fire and flame, as certain world leaders have elected to say at times.
And I remember you saying so at one point in a previous episode.
I've probably said it many times. But yeah, it was... Yeah, I just wanted to make mention of that. Perhaps it's a good idea for our listeners and what have you to tweet, you know, and support the Winter Olympics. It's a real good sign for peace in the region. It's very good.
Hey, Adam, look at that. Sport bringing people together and doing good in the world.
Yuck.
The two things you hate. Physical sport.
Mm-hmm.
And good.
Evil is the way to go.
So, yeah, I just wanted to make mention of that because I think it does... It's a little ray of hope, if you will. I mean, a lot of things are bad in society and the world nowadays, but having this, a little bit of a ray of sunshine on a dark, cloudy day.
Indeed, when you first came up with this idea, I was gonna pull out the card that we sometimes pull out when each other have an idea, which is, how does this help you survive the apocalypse? But I already know the answer, because...
It's not going to lead to nuclear devastation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Surviving the apocalypse by helping make it not happen.
Prevention is always better than a cure.
Exactly.
Yes. John, you've exhausted me. Let's face it. You have crushed my spirit.
It was for your own good.
You say that, but in the end, it was kind of worse for you. Now, I was so looking forward to a nice little surprise, like, oh, we're going to go out to a meal and have, I don't know, puppies and be alone for an hour and a half.
Because I told you about a week ago that I had a surprise planned.
Indeed.
And did you really think it was going to be puppies?
No, but I mean, I could hope. No, I knew it was going to be some type of physical activity, which I was dreading.
Yeah, because I had to tell you to wear appropriate attire.
Indeed. And I wore jeans here, but I did bring a change of clothes. Yes, it was when you told me you let the shoe drop, as it were, and crushed whatever hope I had, I was, the little bit of despair crept in, thinking to myself, oh, great, I'm going to have somebody pounding my face in.
Oh, before you give too much away, remember, we've got to keep that dramatic tension, keep people listening.
It was...
La 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 la. Oi! Oh, I'm going to have to censor it out again.
No, no.
Okay.
No.
Let's hear what Adam had to say when he was told the news of what he would be doing.
All right.
What am I doing?
Adam, yes. So...
Yes, John.
I told you a few weeks ago, or a week ago, that we were going to do something and it had to be on a Tuesday night.
Yes.
But right now, what do you think... What do you think it is? What's your best guess? Your real best guess?
My guess is you're standing too close to me for starters.
Sorry, I need to get the audio quality good. I thought we got over this with the extra mic.
That's true, yeah. What do I think it is? From what little you have told me, which is sweet FA, I believe that it has something to do with exercise, which makes me want to punch you in the testicles.
Close.
I'm close.
No, no.
Instant loathing. Yeah. But yes, so I'm guessing something to do with exercise. I swear to science, if this is like a jog around a lake, I'm going to throw myself into the lake and drown myself. Just as a point of note and protest. So yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we reveal what it actually is?
Yes.
Okay. Now, no backing out now. Do we all agree? It's on the podcast.
It's not yet, but yeah, okay.
It will be on the podcast.
All right,
no backing out.
Hit me with it. What is this? By the way, just be noted.
We're about to embark on... Whoa, he's about to stab me with his key. We're about to embark on training, but not physical training.
Yeah?
Well, it is physical training.
Obviously, no one's
but
seeing
not
this,
running.
Just bringing my hand back.
Yeah, he's
for
about to stab me.
Uh-huh.
Combat training.
Combat training.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember you talked about jiu-jitsu before?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to be learning jiu-jitsu tonight.
Oh.
I know.
All right.
I know. It's heavy, but you can't back out of it now. It's okay because we've got Steve as well, so we'll be fine.
This is exactly why I don't tell you things. This is exactly why I'm a closed-off social recluse.
You mentioned in passing one time.
Exactly. That means people are going to be touching me.
Oh, yeah.
It means I'm going to be going to prison for murder now. Thank you.
It's okay. You can spar Steve. I'll spar a stranger.
What have I got here? Let's see.
Wait, what are you doing, Adam?
Well, you see, I come prepared for everything, John.
Wait, are you leaving? No. Are you just going to drive off now?
I don't have my keys or anything.
Not what it is.
I'm not.
Oh, gosh. Man. He's got a knife.
Did you hear that sigh of disdain?
Yeah, when they first say, oh, what it is.
Yeah, it's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And you lied as well. You said it wasn't physical training.
I did fix that up. I was like, okay, yes, it is kind of.
It's all right, though.
But I didn't know they were going to... Because so the first thing, when we arrived there, we're with Steve. If you don't know Steve, he was a guest on episode 5. We arrived there, and they're like, all right, guys... Everyone line up. If you're a newbie, go on the left side or whatever it was.
Mm.
And then they were like, okay, let's run. And I was like, I'm sorry, Adam. I didn't lie to you. I just didn't know.
I mean, that part wasn't bad. I mean, we only ran for like a minute and then like weird skipping and hopping and what have you. That part was fine. In fact, overall, it wasn't a dreadful experience. Granted, people were touching me and sweating, and I was sweating, but I did get to release some of the frustration by, you know, pinning you to the ground and, you know, just reveling in dominance.
Yes, I must admit, I'm not going to say I was regretting choosing this, but I was. It's a bit of like, John, you surely knew this was going to happen.
There was a point where... We were doing one of the exercises, and John's on his back on the ground and had his knees kind of up in the air. And I'm holding onto his knees, and all I'm thinking was... And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he knew that if I wanted to, I could accidentally, quote unquote, fall over and just like headbutt knee anything I wanted to crush his testicles. And I'm not going to lie, folks, there was that temptation. But I didn't.
Thank you.
This time.
oh, boy. But it remind me never to do this again.
No, where were... what was it called, John? The place? Just a bit of plug, a publicity for them?
It was called GF Team.
So, yeah, it's the Grapple Fight Team in here in Perth, Western Australia, I believe. And
yes, that is the place that we currently reside.
It's in Joondalup on Winton Road. And it was... yeah, it was great fun. The instructor was very much a patient, relatively quiet-spoken fellow. But my goodness gracious me, I'm fairly certain he's some sort of dark wizard with the way he's able to turn himself inside out.
Yes, there was no move that you could possibly ever do that would outsmart him.
No, because he had like a counter for a counter for a counter. It was terrifying to watch. There was a... So anyway, we'll get to that in a moment. So we start out by, you know, doing like a lap around the room. There's these awesome soft mats that you could like roll over. Doing those rolls, did you get massively dizzy?
Yeah, I got so dizzy. We had to do like somersaults. And backs, whatever you call it, backward rolls.
Yep.
And then you get up and then you do another. And you get up and do another. And then you have to go back to the start again. And I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, at the end when you got up, you were a little uneasy there. But I mean, it passed pretty quickly. It was, that was pretty fun. And then, you know, we got into doing the exercises. And as John pointed out, we had another friend with us, Steve. And yeah, we just took turns basically trying out these moves on one another.
I'd say, from what I expected, it was a lot more ground-based. And I think you mentioned it, that, or was it Steve, that jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, just accepts that almost all...
Nine out of ten fights end up on the ground. And that's where Brazilian jiu-jitsu excels.
And so there was a lot of that, where instead of saying, all right, now you fight, like, standing up, they just say, one of you start on the ground.
Yeah.
And then the job of the person on the ground is to break out and get on top of the person who's upright.
Yep.
And the job of the person on top is to pin the person underneath down.
Maintain control, yeah.
So basically the whole thing is just switching between who's on top and who's on the bottom. Or in my case, completely failing to get on top at any stage.
So, we'll get to that because I have my theories. But it was a fascinating little thing. Because the teacher, as I said, was very patient. Because when you think about it, we suck. We were terrible. Because we just had to... Like, we were being told, like, at least two or three times each for how to position ourselves and maneuver ourselves.
Yeah, he kept saying, like, oh, line your foot up with their shoulder. And then I'd be like, okay, yep, got it. And then I'd do it again. And, like, because of all these moves, I'm trying to remember everything. I forget the one thing he told me to do. And he'd be like...
No.
Put your foot at your shoulder. Yeah. And he would just keep saying it until you get it. Like, he was really patient.
Yeah, he really was. He was really good. And so we did that and we went through all the exercises. And then it came time for free sparring, which was
the best bit.
It was fun. So I, not free sparring. They did the game first.
Oh, yeah, the game. Yeah. So all of the people who are more experienced start on the ground and the newbies, which were us three.
And another guy, yeah.
We had to try to pin them down.
What was it? The side control.
Incredibly difficult. Side control. If you know BJJ, then you probably know what that is.
Oh, yeah, because we're so professional now. We can just call it whatever. So side control is basically getting a pin from the side. It's kind of like laying on top of them.
But yeah, 90 degrees almost to their body.
Yeah, over their chest and keeping your hips down and your knees kind of against their side. And it was
arm under their neck.
Yeah, it was really good. And yeah, so we all lined up and oh, goodness gracious me. I enjoyed most of it. That part was less than ideal.
It was quite, well, how do you put it? It humbling.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Utterly decimated by those guys.
Yeah, I went up against one of the other instructors. And it was like a baby fighting against I'd say a 2-year-old fighting against a 30-year-old uncle. That person was in control the entire time. There was only one point where, and this was my own fault, where I got kneed in the chin and kind of bit part of my tongue, but that wasn't their fault. That's because I was an idiot. And it was just really good. And that, what this instructor was doing, kind of informed what I was going to do when you and I sparred.
Yes, so Adam...
We should have got Steve to film it. That would have been fun.
Yes. Adam did did something which is, in hindsight, a very smart thing to do, which is he let me and Steve spar first when it got to the free sparring. And he, not only was he resting from all the training, he was also watching the instructor who had a counter for every move, as we said before, and learning those counters. So basically, when it came time for me to spar, I was exhausted from Steve, and he had a counter for these moves that I hadn't seen yet because we hadn't trained them, but he had just picked them off from learning from the trainer.
It was fun. But, and there was a point that Steve, and this is a good lesson for everybody, I reckon. There was a point where Steve pulled us up and saying, oh no, you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't do that. You're going to snap his neck, because I had my neck around John. Sorry, I had my neck, my leg around John's neck. And if he moved the wrong way, or I moved the wrong way, pivoted my hips the wrong way, there was a chance I could have caused you serious damage.
Indeed.
Well, you deserved it. But regardless, there was that point. There was that chance. And Steve is obviously like, ooh, probably not a good idea. And in hindsight, of course, he's correct, because me thinking, like, a little bit of knowledge is such a dangerous thing, because I didn't have control of the situation. I was just kind of imitating what the instructor was doing. I didn't know how to control the flow of all those movements.
Indeed.
So that was a smart move by Steve to call that out. But yeah, it was fun. But you see, John found it a bit difficult to pin me down, because I did two things. One, I was always starting on the ground. Well, not always. I think, like, out of the three or four times we sparred, I think three out of those times I was... At one time I started up top, but regardless. He's very tall. John is very tall, and he has...
You may not be able to tell over audio.
Indeed, but the sound of his voice is very tall.
What is the top of... Anyway.
So, yeah, he's very tall, so it was difficult for him to get down to basically pin me, which is... And he has another disadvantage, is because he actually cares about his friends and doesn't want to hurt them.
Which, I admit, I didn't feel any of that from you. You were like,
yeah, you're not wrong. This is what you get for making me bloody do physical work. So, yeah, I pinned him a couple of times. It was good fun. But there were so many times where you terrified me in some aspect of how you got real close to getting me. But I just basically imitated the guy I sparred with and just kept my legs up and bent to keep you from pinning me. It was very difficult, though, and exhausting. God, save me. I'm not doing that again. But we're going to have to do this again, because John and I are going to be doing something pretty much every podcast now.
Yes, we have started a new segment for the podcast. As Adam said last episode, everything's changing. We're in season two now, although technically this is still episode 11 because podcasts don't do seasons. But I'm calling it season two.
Season two.
So now what we're going to start doing is trying out as many different combat training sessions as we can. Or we'll start with combat. We may go into other areas. But basically, any skill that we can learn that will help us survive the apocalypse, that we can relay on to you, say the pros and cons. So, for instance, next week we're going to do SAS training. I've booked us in.
Good God!
Don't worry. Although that's a good idea.
No, it's not. That's dreadful. They will murder us.
Okay, yes. Well...
No. I've got an idea for next week.
Good, but you can keep it a surprise as a punishment for me.
Yeah.
So we've got a few ideas in there, like we could do archery, we could do other forms of martial arts, basically anything. And we'll report back the pros and cons.
So what do you reckon the pros and cons are for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, John?
Okay, so the first thing that I would like to say is it's very, how do you put it? The moves are really good and they're really effective, but they're highly specific. So you need to be able to put in a lot of training hours to get the knowledge of when to use each move.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, one training session, we ended up with about three moves, or some of them were kind of combined.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I would be sparring against someone who's more proficient at it, even just Adam from looking at someone else. And I'd be like, I literally don't know what to do now.
Mm-hmm.
And so his theory is expect 15 years before you make it to black belt and things like that.
Yeah. I bet that's not our goal either.
Continually learning. I'd love to get just, what's the first one? Yellow belt?
I think.
Yeah. Like the very first one.
White.
That would be cool. White is the first one. But everyone's white, right? Starlight?
Yeah, I think like the first progression you get is yellow.
So that would be the thing I say. The other thing is there was, especially in the cast where you go, maybe in a future one, it's not the same, but there's very little upright fighting. It's just like, get the person to the ground, which is all right. If you, like, probably for me, I had the advantage because I have height.
Mm-hmm.
So in any battle, I'll be able to get the person on the ground. And then when they're on the ground, they defeat me like Adam did. But for other people, perhaps that's going to be a huge weakness, is there isn't enough focus on that upright fighting.
Okay.
But I mean, at the end of the day, if you really have a problem with getting people onto the ground, you can just go into the ground yourself first and then use your leverage to get on top of them.
I like it. Hey, you want to fight? Instantly lays down.
Yeah, like, that's not quite what I mean.
Nope,
but
that's in my head now. Next time it's getting into a confrontation, it's going to be, yeah, you want to fight? Oh, don't, let me just get on the ground first. All right, go.
It would certainly confuse them.
Yeah.
But the pros, I'd say, is it has a great community, super low barrier for entry. They were cool with us. I think you've done martial arts before. I've never done a single thing.
Yeah.
And you've basically forgotten it all, I'm sure.
And it was not jiu-jitsu.
And then they also have, it's actually reasonably easy to learn the moves. Like,
yeah, it just requires a bit of practice.
Yeah, we need a lot of practice, a lot of hours is probably, I'd say.
From my perspective, all your points are valid.
But they're all wrong.
No. All your points are correct, I find. Basically all fights will end up on the ground. That's essentially kind of law. Unless, you know, there's coward's punch or whatever like that, which is just silly. It requires a lot of practice, like a lot of muscle memory to get this down and sorted. Like, it would take years to be in any way proficient in doing these type of moves in a combat scenario. So, like, when I was watching the instructor spar with another advanced student, the instructor was in a headlock for about 45 seconds, right? And he's calm, he's collected, he's not fighting too hard against it. And I didn't know what he was doing at the time, retrospectively, but he's sitting and he's just waiting, like, in his headlock. And there was a point where, and I saw it happen, the person who was holding him had to adjust his arm slightly to, like, either get a better grip or maybe his arm was getting tired. But in that one moment of weakness, now the instructor didn't see this, but he felt it. In that one moment of weakness, that one moment of just an opening, he was on it. His leg came up, pinned down the person's arm, and I don't know how he did it. Like, I could have sworn he summoned some sort of dark demon to, like, shift place. And the next thing I know, the guy's in, like, some super specific hand lock. And I'm just like, I blinked and suddenly the fight's over because the guy's, like, tapping because he's not in pain, but he's just like, if this continues, I will be in pain. Because the constructors have massive control. Like, they're not in it to hurt you. They're in it to teach you. They're not in that. I found no ego. I found it to be, like you said, a very good environment, very good community.
Yeah.
I think a con would be the time factor. And, like, this will be a con for most of martial arts because it's obvious, you know, muscle memory takes time to develop, etc.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, for me, time at the moment, I'll have to think a bit more about it. But, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And, of course, John, this all ties into surviving the apocalypse for a very simple reason. In an apocalyptic survival scenario, ladies and gentlemen, when hoarders are coming to steal your precious, precious resources, or, you know, some type of, I'm not going to say robot, because these holds aren't going to be useful against robotic entities, but let's say humans are coming to steal your precious food.
Any bipedal entity.
Precisely. They're coming to steal your food. You're going to have to defend yourself. You're going to have to defend your food. What if you're ambushed? All these type of things. You need this type of knowledge to be successful. So John and I are going to become jack of all trades and master of none.
Yes.
By going and experimenting with all of them.
And then hopefully we'll choose one that we love and stick with that.
Yeah, essentially. So I would say give it a go. Jiu-jitsu is quite fun. You got to find a good group, I'd imagine. And yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's, oh God, I'm exhausted though. Good gracious. Fighting is horrible. Why do people do it?
Oh, I know. It's just, Really, piece is the best option because it's the laziest one.
Yeah, all right. I'm not overly for piece, but I'm all for laziness.
Begin world-ending scenario battle.
Speaking of sweating, John, would you say that you got other people's sweat on you today?
Yes, quite a lot, actually, from the jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, from the jiu-jitsu.
That we were just talking about.
Yes. All this sweat. How many germs do you think were transferred to you?
None.
Oh, you'd be wrong. Many, in fact.
Adam, please tell me this segment isn't about diseases, because we've mentioned before that that is my biggest weakness.
Indeed it is. Oh, and which is why this is specifically tailored to you.
I need vitamin C.
Vitamin C may not help you.
No!
Nor will antibiotics.
Is there anything I can do? Or is it just...
Not really. High doses, perhaps? So, I was reading an interesting article the other day, and from previous conversations I've had, my brother-in-law's father studied diseases and germs, and his father was horrified about some of his discoveries, which is obviously bacteria becoming resistant to antibiotics, which happens more frequently than you might think. And it's becoming a real serious problem because, as you know, for most people out there, when you get some type of infection, you will take antibiotics, which will help. However, what a lot of people will do is they'll take antibiotics, start to feel better, and then stop taking antibiotics. They won't take the full course, which can produce bacteria which is resistant to antibiotics.
No.
And then they pass that on to someone else. Then that person will pass it on to somebody else. So, and all the while, this germ, this virus, this bacteria is mutating to become stronger and stronger.
Oh, just finish your antibiotic packets, please, people.
So, there's a couple of things. So, a couple of diseases, funnily enough, which are immune to this. And I'm sorry to say, any of...
Adam, please stop coughing.
So, oh, okay.
I can't remember whose mic is whose, so next time we're going to swap.
Wasn't a cough. It was just a clearing of the throat, you say. Okay. So, all the friends out there, I would highly... highly recommend practicing safe sex. Why? Oh, yes, because gonorrhea is starting to become immune to antibiotics, penicillin. So they're requiring higher and higher doses to subdue the effects of gonorrhea, to cure it and all that type of stuff, because it's becoming more and more virile. It's becoming more infectious. So,
oh, boy.
Indeed. So safe sex, people, ladies and gentlemen, always practice that. What was the other one? Oh, there's tuberculosis, which is, funnily enough, not a huge problem nowadays because of, you know, vaccines and what have you. So there's so many problems in... when you have a cold, you do not need antibiotics.
In fact, antibiotics will do nothing to help.
Exactly. If you have a cold, do not take antibiotics. You do not need them. You are only creating super bugs which will kill us all. This is basically a segment of who wins in a world-ending scenario between John's idea, which will be up next, and mine, which is a super bug which is going to wipe out humanity. So I present to the case, I present to the jury that a super bug will indeed wipe out humanity because it will eventually become, it may not be in our lifetime, but at the moment, I think I might have heard something a while ago about them discovering some type of, like a new strain of, I can't even remember. It's like an antibiotic, which is more powerful, essentially. But then the bacteria is just going to become more resistant to that. So, indeed. So all these things are building up to a world-ending scenario. And there's,
filled with diseases.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, it would be probably one or two diseases. But, yeah, essentially that's what's going to happen. I feel sorry for anybody who gets these things. I'm going to be in a bunker somewhere in the middle of the Australian desert drinking purified water and not going outside again and become a crazy hermit, basically.
Wow.
Yeah. So what's your world-ending scenario, John?
Well, As you mentioned, this is our new segment called Apocalypse Off, or there's probably like a better name.
Yeah, we'll think of a better name.
So I've got to think of a apocalypse scenario that is greater than Adam's, that can cause more destruction. Now, I hate disease as much as actually probably 48,000 times more than the next guy.
Real specific.
48,024 times.
Nice.
Okay. But there's still something that is more destructive.
Super volcano. Yellowstone National Park.
Well, I mean, no, because that's only going to kill, like, most of the people.
Ash cloud going up into the upper atmosphere, blocking out the sun.
Hey, you're not allowed two apocalypses, okay? Save it for next week.
Oh, okay, yes. Fair enough. Well point.
If we record a podcast next week. Anyway, so my apocalypse scenario is a gamma ray burst. Now, if you've never heard of this, this is when a black hole or a neutron star collides with another one. Highly magnetic objects, right? What happens when they collide is these magnetic fields cause this huge amount of strength. Like, let's say, for instance, you get two magnets, and they're kind of fine. And if you get the two same poles and try and push them together, the force becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, that's the same with a black hole. One collides into another, and it will just shoot out particles into space in a direction, basically along a path.
Did, correct me if I'm wrong, just for clarification here, wasn't there two black holes colliding, which created magnetic waves, were able to observe magnetic waves or something like that?
I do not know.
But anyway, sorry, continue. Yep.
You're trying to invalidate my theory poking holes in my knowledge.
No, no, not at all. This is, I've heard of gamma rays and they tear, you fear germs? I fear space. Mm. I will never, ever leave this planet because going up into that horrible void, one thing goes wrong, you're gone.
Yeah, that's right.
So gamma ray wiping out life.
So they form this path through space. And, you know, like if you're not in the path, you're safe. It's fine. It's just, you know, gamma rays flying past you.
Mm-hmm.
But if your planet, such as Earth, which is probably where most of us are living right now.
Hello, aliens. Welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way.
Or that one mannequin in the car that Tesla sent to space. Or
maybe, yeah.
SpaceX. So let's just say you're living on Earth, like most of us are. The path of the gamma ray crosses over with Earth's orbit of the sun. Oh my goodness. It is ridiculous. It will destroy our ozone layer, which, if you don't know, is the only thing stopping us from being completely fried by the sun.
I've never liked the
sun.
And
it will turn our atmosphere, like basically change it so that acid will rain down from the skies. Like, you're talking apocalypse. This is the apocalypse.
That's pretty baller. That's baller.
Like, we're talking end of days stuff here. Imagine, like, looking outside, like, huh, that's weird. The neighbor's house is melting. Wait, mine is as well. Why?
Oh, my science.
So, I take your diseases and raise you gamma ray bursts.
Okay. Well,
utter destruction of the entire planet. And all life.
I put this up to our listeners. Who do you think
is
correct? Do you think it'll be a gamma ray? Which is, you know, how long has the Earth survived here?
Oh, yeah. Probably quite a while.
Quite a while, I'd imagine. And how long has super virus has been around? They've only just started, but they're already causing havoc. So, let us know, Twitter, Facebook, who do you reckon is correct?
Please stop coughing, aforementioned virus thing.
I will spread the disease like the wind. All will bow.
Man, the microphone quality is too good. It sounds like you're talking right into my ear.
Maybe I am, John.
No, the virus.
Maybe.
Actually, here's a little off topic. I saw it on Facebook and it's quack right.
Sorry, listeners.
Oh, it's all right. They get, if they've listened to this podcast before, they know full well what this is like.
Okay.
So you know how I give blood a lot, right?
Yes.
I read a post, like it was on Facebook or Twitter or something, and it was like, oh, I give blood because I'd like to imagine my blood overpowering theirs and become, like, taking control. I'd like to think that's what I'm doing.
Is that why you give blood?
I'm thinking maybe subconsciously that's what I'm doing now.
Wow.
My blood overpowers the others.
Soon there'll be a world of Adam clones. I can't do the voice.
I will have a host of hosts, if you will.
The ultimate hindbrain of Adam.
If you've ever received blood in Perth, Western Australia, and you're listening to this podcast, hello.
Execute Order 66.
Scratch your nose. It's very itchy. Just trying mind control, you know.
I like it. I like it a lot. So, transition! As you know, John, we spoke about it last week, and I'd like to keep talking about it because I'm just enamored with it. It's so much fun. The Overwatch League.
Indeed.
So, there was a... I put it up on Twitter. So, as a podcast, we're supporting it. As an individual, I'm supporting it. I notice you haven't put it up yet, but it's
Yeah, what is this?
So, it is the Baby Bay Challenge. Now, my favorite team, San Francisco Shock.
Woo!
They... one of their members, Baby Bay...
So that's his game attack,
yeah.
Baby Bay. Okay.
He put up this photo and created this challenge. Well, I don't think he created the challenge, but the team itself created a challenge called the Baby Bay Challenge, obviously. And you post a photo, you tag the SF Shock on Twitter, and the San Francisco Shock will be donating to youth mental health awareness stuff, which is brilliant because they're so... There's so many problems that young people nowadays are going through, in regards to mental stability, depression, all these type of things. Now, yes, you can joke about all this type of stuff, but it's a real issue. There's just chaos. People don't know where to turn. Mm. So San Francisco Shock are helping out this type of... they're not helping out. They're helping combat this problem by... a simple challenge on Twitter. And it's really... I just like it. It's brought a whole community of people together. Anybody who watches Overwatch... I mean, Shaq, the basketball player in America, he took part in the Baby Bay Challenge. Bloody Shaq! Was it Shaq? I'm sure it was Shaq.
So sport's gone full circle then.
Yeah, it's amazing. And esports, it's becoming so cool. So Baby Bay Challenge. All you have to do, look on Twitter, you'll be able to find the photo. I mean, look at my photo on the Voice of Adam on Twitter. And
no, just Voice of Adam.
The Voice of Adam, yeah.
I know your own Twitter handle better than you.
Yeah, that's
it's true. A good one. Don't change it. That's going to be worth a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. So that... In itself, I mean, that photo, and I've tagged SF Shock and everything like that, that photo has contributed towards SF Shock giving money to youth awareness and all this type of stuff. Mental health initiatives and everything. And, it's quite helpful. So I highly recommend anybody listening to this, get involved with the Overwatch League because it's fantastic, and we're discussing that in a moment, and take part in the Baby Bay Challenge because why the hell not? Speaking of Overwatch League... Have you watched any games yet, John?
No, I haven't. I'm sorry. I don't.
Podcast
even...
over. Yeah. See ya.
Wow, he's actually getting up. Whoa. Okay. Now, can I just explain why I haven't watched it?
All right.
It's because I'm not a fan of sport, any sport. I know that it's e-sport, so therefore it's 100 times cooler. But just watching sports, I always think, but I could be doing that instead. And Overwatch is even more. I could be playing Overwatch, except that I haven't bought it.
Well, yes, is that... But you're talking to literally the king of avoiding sports, at least nowadays.
Okay, yeah.
But Overwatch League is... It's fun. It's awesome. The commentating, the production value, it's all magnificent. They've put in... They've literally sunk, I'd say, millions and millions of dollars into this. I'd say support it. Support your nerd culture. We are surviving the apocalypse... The nerd's way.
Wait a minute.
What?
How does watching Overwatch League help us survive the apocalypse? I'm calling you out.
Ooh, all right. Okay. Let me think. Watching... Got it. Okay. Watching Overwatch League helps you survive the apocalypse for two reasons. Okay. Firstly, in the event of utter destruction of society, and you are one of the lucky few who have remained alive and have access to a generator or what have you, you'll be able to have vast sums of entertainment in watching the Overwatch League. Number two, watching the Overwatch League will make you want to play Overwatch, which is what you just said yourself. And it is true because, like, yes, I had Overwatch for ages. I've played it 3 or 4 times, right? Overwatch League came out. I watched Overwatch League. I started playing Overwatch like a crazy man. It has been amazing. So watching Overwatch League helps you survive the apocalypse because you watch Overwatch League, which makes you want to play Overwatch League, which helps develop hand-eye coordination and decision-making responses. Boom! I did it! Woo!
Isn't it a combat game as well? Like, you're just learning to survive in a multi-way combat scenario?
Kind of.
I know nothing about this game.
It's not so much learning to survive, it's trying to kill the other team before they kill you to reach an objective to do all sorts of stuff.
That is the apocalypse, so it's just training you with apocalypse survival.
In fact, they've got a map called Junkertown, which is based in Australia, and it's literally, it's kind of like a Trojan horse deal. It's actually pretty funny.
Okay.
That's good. Anyway, so Overwatch League.
I was going to say, though, but watching Overwatch, don't you learn how to play the game better? Like you were saying with the instructor at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
A little more... I'd say it's a bit more different. So with the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu stuff, while you're watching them, you can see the whole picture of them kind of wrapping their legs around, doing 73 bloody, I don't know, hand-clapping motions, doing 6 backflips and landing on top of them.
Wow, I've been doing jiu-jitsu wrong.
This is what I saw. So, but with Overwatch League, watching them, it's a bit more different in... You're not getting the full picture with Overwatch League because you're literally just seeing them tap their fingers on a keyboard and their mouse. You're watching their character, their avatar, essentially, their champion, who they're playing, move in a map in a differently controlled world. So you're not able to emulate all their stuff because you don't have their decision-making stuff, you don't have their reflexes, their hand-eye coordination, or their muscle memory. And you don't know the map as well as them.
Okay.
Regardless, it still makes you want to play it.
Okay.
So watching the Overwatch League is fantastic and fun. So I highly recommend it. Sorry, just trying to bring that up now. There it is. So stage one has just finished. So think of it like a round. Okay, so round one of AFL will complete, then they'll move on to the next. So round that has finished, and it's been fantastic. There's been some real ups and downs. There's been, I think, one of the... it's really sad. One of the teams hasn't won a single game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Shanghai Dragons. Gosh. Poor blokes. I mean, it's quite sad. But regardless...
How's your team going? Where are they on the ladder?
So, originally, like before Overwatch started, I was just like, you know what? I'm going for the London Spitfire.
Yeah, that's what you said last week. But now you've changed to San Francisco.
And I don't know why. I'm watching the San Francisco Shock, and I just feel like they've got a cool team camaraderie. Like, I don't know what it is. One of the guys... Dark, I can't remember his name. He kind of looks like the mother hen of them. I don't know why. Probably not the case, but... And I just root for Baby Bay. Like, he has sniper battles with other snipers, and sometimes he gets owned, sometimes he just pulls off these amazing... I started playing Widowmaker because of this guy. Because he's just incredible. Like, he's a...
Is that the sniper character?
One of them, yeah. He just pulls off some crazy stuff. He's amazing. I love it. So... London Spitfire has actually finished top of the league in stage one.
So you chose the right team.
Yeah, but I don't want to go for them anymore. Like, they're not my favorite team.
Yeah, the team
San
dynamics.
San Francisco just... Shock. It's not that. It's... I don't know what it is. I like San Francisco Shock more. No idea why. It's probably just I've watched more of their games and I just get them more. I do like the Houston Outlaws because, come on. I mean, their symbol is two guns in the shape of a bull. Hello! That's it.
Wait. So go back. London Spitfire is first. Where's San Francisco?
San Francisco Shock, they're kind of middle upper pack.
Okay.
So they
might be able to be in the game still after the next round.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't say middle upper pack. I would probably say lower middle.
Okay.
But still,
so they could come back, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, they've still got weeks and weeks, and I think this goes until July.
Okay.
So they got quite a bit to go, and...
Go as of Shock!
Yes! Okay, so as a podcast, we can officially say that San Francisco Shock is our team.
Okay.
Agreed. Sure. Welcome to the San Francisco Shock podcast. No. Wait, no.
Can we get a sponsorship deal?
I highly, highly doubt it. But yeah, it's just been real fun. So top of the pack is definitely New York Excelsior, London Spitfire, and Seoul Dynasty. So other than that, they've been really good. So yeah, check out Overwatch League.
We just clicked our hands at the same time. That was weird.
Did you ever have to get blood?
Oh no! He's got me, guys. Save me. Do something. Send help.
It's too late.
Yes, it is too late. Everything you say is correct, Adam. Adam is the one true power.
All bask in the radiance of Adam. What if I'm not the original Adam?
Someone else, and you give blood to, like, continue?
Yeah.
Whoa, creepy.
I think we've just blown this case wide open.
All right, that brings us to the end of the episode. I rather enjoyed this one. It's a new style.
Yeah.
A little bit shorter this week, but that's because we're...
Exhausted
from Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But I hope you liked the episode having a direction. If you didn't, tweet...
Too bad.
Tweet Adam and say how much you hated the episode.
I do.
And if you did like it, tweet Adam because it was actually his idea.
Follow us on social media stuff.
We are on Twitter at... @thenerdsway_pod. Mm-hmm. Again, if you want to tweet at the Nerdsway and say, please give us the tagline, you can.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Also, we're on Facebook. Just search Surviving the Apocalypse, The Nerdsway. You can find...
Facebook.com/TheNerdsway.
Yep. You can find me at Voice of Adam on Twitter. You can find John at...
JLOKELY. Find Adam and then, like, click through to my name.
You just couldn't have a normal Twitter handle, could you?
Yeah, because someone took John OK, which is what I wanted. So if anyone has a suggestion of my new title, maybe I can be, like, I don't know, Voice of John. I can steal Adam's Twitter
handle. Totally could. I have no mind for that. So, yeah, I was, those are our contact details if you want to get hold of. Oh, also, if you want to email us. What was it? Is it thenerdsway@gmail.com?
Yes.
That was a really awkward pause. But yeah, check us out on that. That would be fantastic. And I think next week I'd also like to discuss an expansion on the simulation hypothesis.
Oh, man. No. Not the simulation hypothesis again.
Oh, yes. So, as I've said, I put out a tweet the other day. If you're feeling stressed or worried, don't worry, because you're more than likely either in the simulation hypothesis or a Boltzmann brain. Yes.
I'm terrified.
And you should be.
While we're talking about future episodes, Adam, you may not remember this, but I do, and I'm sure all our listeners do, but you promised... a few episodes ago that on the very next episode you would do Zombie Run with me.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our podcast for this evening.
So just reminding everyone that Zombie Run is an app where Adam has to go running around to escape from zombies, and he said that he was going to do it, so we're going to do it together.
I'll do that.
Nope, you already said yes. You can't add conditions to this.
Retroactively. Damn. Fair enough. Well, we'll see how things go with that. Maybe I might just try and get my hands on some vials of that. Antibacterial resistant bacteria. Antibiotic bacteria. What? I'm
okay,
confused.
We need to end the episode.
I need more coffee. Thank you for listening. And if you want to get in contact with us, please do.
And because it's a new season, we don't have our old tag sign off.
Oh, thank goodness.
But so, we have to invent a new one.
So it's going to be Patrick Rothfuss, I love you.
No, you can't do that as a tagline. We already talk about him enough.
Exactly. So there's no such thing as that.
Until next time, let's hope that the apocalypse doesn't happen, so that way you can listen to more of Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerd's Way.
I'm going to leave that in there with no music in the background.
All right. Good night, folks.
We haven't decided any of the other topics for today.
We really haven't. What's going on?
What are we doing?
All right, we're going to bring that up. Okay. I'm Adam, and with me, as always, is...
John.
No.
What? Wait, what's my name again?